Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us in the Sunbury Motors Studio. We've talked about Little League today. We've talked about wrestling today. Now we're going to talk about hockey. And about the Penguins in particular. Talk about guys that used to go through all those little junior tournaments who now made the big numbers. Unless, Kevin, you want to talk about racing, wrestling, or something else in your mind, Air?
If you want to talk about hockey, hockey's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Bears are doing. How are the Bears doing? Oh, you want to talk NHL hockey. Oh.
Yeah, like the parent club, the Wilkes-Barre, Scranton-Wilkes-Barre parent club. Let's bring in Josh Yowie, Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Hey, Josh.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing very well. Great to hear from you. Okay, so what is the puzzle of the Pittsburgh Penguins? What's the most puzzling thing about this team and why?
Well, everything about this team is pretty curious right now. They've been shut out in three of their last six losses, and at the same time, Marc-Andre Fleury has eight shutouts, which is already by far and away a career high. They are great one day and awful the next, and I would look at them as a real X factor heading into the playoffs because I think they could beat anybody, but by God, they could lose to anybody. And they're a difficult team to gauge because they have been banged up more than most, as they seemingly are every year. So they're just really starting to get healthy. So could they be really good? Yes, but they're a difficult club to figure out, no question.
They also had to make a lot of changes in the offseason, which they elected to do. Did they give you the impression that even at a higher level, they're a team in transition?
Yeah, I think they kind of are. When you have the top end talent that they have with Crosby and Malkin, you know, you're always going to make the playoffs. Nobody's ever going to look at you and say, "Oh, you're rebuilding." But, no, it is a team in transition, and there still might be another move or two on the way, I think, before the trade deadline comes. Jim Rutherford took over this team last summer, and he just didn't like the composition. He didn't think it was a team that could win in the playoffs, and the last 5 years have proven that to be the case, and he took away some of the glitz and glamour with the James Neals of the world and tried to get more substance over style with guys like Blake Como and Steve Downey and Patrick Hornquist, and to some extent they've succeeded. And it's been a good season for the Penguins overall, but they don't necessarily feel like a championship team to me right now.
There was an article when Sidney Crosby re-upped on his contract. There was an interesting article on long-term contracts with stars in the NHL after the age of 25. That, yes, they performed at a high level, but not at the same level that they performed at before the age of 25. What are you seeing in his game right now at the age of, 27, that's a little bit different out of him compared to what you saw maybe at 22, 23?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because it's so true. If you look throughout hockey history at the great players of all time, Gretzky, Lemieux, Bobby Orr, their numbers all start to decline in their late 20s. I mean, these guys all were at their best in their early to mid-20s. Lemieux won his last cup at 26. Gretzky won his last cup at 27. And when I look at Crosby, I still see a guy who I think is the best player in the league. But there is an explosiveness that maybe isn't quite there anymore. And I don't want to suggest that he's over the hill. I don't think he is. But that said, he's having his worst statistical season. And it gets your attention when you look at his age. And in his case specifically, you know, he got the concussion at age 23 that basically wiped out his career for a season. And he has never been the same goal scorer since then, not even close. And I don't think he goes to the net with the same reckless abandon that he did as a younger man. And I don't blame him. It was a career-altering injury, a life-altering injury when you have a concussion that threatens your career. That's a brain injury. That's a big deal. So I don't blame him for altering his game, and I don't even think he has done so consciously, but he doesn't go to the net quite the way he did. He's slightly more of a perimeter player now. Still does it really well, still does it better than anyone else, but the numbers aren't quite the same. Just watching him in person, as great as he still is, he just doesn't quite have that same spark. He's not quite the same player he was. Doesn't mean he won't lead them to a championship again. I suspect he might. I still think he's the best, but have we seen the very best of Sidney Crosby? There's certainly a chance that we have.
And again, we're talking analytically. We're not being critical of the guy. I mean, you and I are not doing that right now, but we're just having a frank discussion about, look, there have been some changes as to how he plays.
Yeah, and the thing about him, too, you know, he is clearly the best player of his era.
Right.
And I mean, in the last 10 years. And so because of that, we can only really compare him to himself.
Exactly.
I mean, so when I say, you know, his points per game are worse this year than they've ever been, and that's true, he still has the best points per game in the NHL. So
right.
He's still having his worst season, and he's 3 points off the scoring lead, and he's missed four games. He's probably still going to win the scoring title. He's that good. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the 10 best players ever. That's pretty much indisputable, I think. But is he the same player he was in 2009? I would say no, not quite.
Now the next part. I always had this feeling that he was the kind of player that if you threw a good winger out there, I mean a good one, he could really make the guy into having a great season by having him out there. Has that part even changed a little bit?
You know, I think maybe it has, even though, you know, they picked up David Perron last month, and they've been really good together.
Right.
They've clicked, no question. But there's always been this perception of Crosby that he can take a winger and make him great the way Lemieux and Gretzky did. And I don't know. I don't know that that's necessarily the case with Sid. He's a little pickier in regards to who he plays with. Whereas I think Evgeny Malkin, frankly, has more of a skill for taking an average player and making him a 30-goal scorer. I don't see it as much with Crosby. He's just so picky about who he plays with. Chris Kunitz has been his left wing for 5 or 6 years now. And Kunitz is starting to show a little bit of wear and tear, frankly. He's not a big man. He's 35 now. He's starting to slow down a little bit, but Crosby still wants him on his left wing. He just has to have certain styles of players. He loves having a straight-line player who just goes to the net, and that's exactly what Kunitz is. But, I don't know that that's ever been one of his greatest strengths, really, to you know, make average players better. I think he just certain players he clicks better than others, I would say.
Has there been a player that might be underappreciated that you watch every night, Josh, and say, you know what, guy's a good NHL player, and he really is an unsung hero around this place?
Well, I'll throw a couple of names out at you for totally different reasons. One is Steve Downey, who, of course, played for the Flyers and has a bad temper. He's dirty at times. He leads the league in penalty minutes, and none of those are necessarily good things. But this guy can play when he has his head on straight. He's made some beautiful plays this season. He's given the Penguins some secondary scoring, which is something they haven't had a whole lot of since they traded Jordan Staal a couple of years ago. So I think he's made a real difference, at least when he's not taking dumb penalties, which unfortunately is still part of the package with Steve Downey. The other end of the spectrum, I'll bring out a guy who does get a lot of attention and a lot of notoriety, but still not enough. And to me, that's Chris Letang, their defenseman.
Right.
I think he's the best defenseman in hockey right now. He's 27 now. He's finally, I think, reached the point where the mental part of the game and the physical part of the game are all in harmony, and he doesn't make bad decisions with the puck anymore. He's playing such of an intelligent game, and he's so ungodly talented that, you know, when you put it all together, he's just having a spectacular season. In fact, I think he's probably their best player.
One thing the NHL has done in the last couple of years is you play everybody now. Which means, you know, the Crosbys and the Malkins get into every building in the league, and conversely, every team in the league gets to, you know, get its opportunity, obviously, to get into Pittsburgh and play. Between watching somebody on TV and then watching somebody in person, give me a couple of teams right away where you say to yourself, you know, it could be a special team that really bears watching.
Oh, boy. Well, the most impressive team I've seen in person this season is the New York Islanders. And they're a little banged up right now. They've finally been hit with some injuries. Saw them play in New York against the Penguins back in January. And Penguins played well. Crosby had 2 goals early in that game. The Penguins were up 3-2 in the third period. And the Islanders absolutely steamrolled them in the third period. And one thing I learned about the Islanders, they're big and they're fast and they're talented. Another thing, they are not afraid of anybody. And that includes Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. We see some of the Calgary Flames last week are a perfect example. They were terrified of Crosby and Malkin. They let them do whatever they wanted. They acted like they were the Beatles coming to Calgary, and they'll come score a couple of goals against us. We don't mind. The Islanders just get right in their faces, and they're just not afraid of them at all. I think they're a real, real Stanley Cup contender. And another team that's impressed me, I'll stick in the division. Now, we know the Rangers are good with Lundqvist, but the Washington Capitals, in the last 2 months, they might be the best team in hockey. And I know they come with that stigma because they always struggle in the playoffs historically. And I don't know that they're ready to win a Stanley Cup, but I sure wouldn't want to play them in the first round.
A couple of years ago, the Penguins played the Islanders in the playoffs. Having a playoff series like that where you win some games and you gain some confidence, do you think that was really part of what you saw? Look, we're not afraid of you because we've gone toe-to-toe with you before, as opposed to Calgary, which sees them once in a while and goes, hey, oh, my goodness, here they come.
I think that, in fact, I've spoken with some of the Islanders about that, and they've pointed to that series as kind of a turning point for their franchise. The Penguins won that series in six, but you could make a very strong argument that they were outplayed most of that series.
Yep.
The two of their victories were in overtime. One of those goes the other way. We're talking about a game seven, and Lord knows the Penguins don't like game seven, not in the last few years anyway. No, the Islanders took it to them for large chunks of that series. It absolutely expedited their development. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. And just playing in the division, I think, helps too. You see them four or five times a year. No, there's just no intimidation at all. And by the way, the playoffs are going to be really something to see. It's going to be the Penguins and Rangers and Islanders and Capitals. And some mix, it'll be those four teams playing each other in the first round, it appears. And boy, you talk about a couple of wide open series that should make for good television. I couldn't tell you who's going to win those series.
Right, exactly. How about the other side, overrated, where you've watched and said, you know what, I know they're doing well. I don't quite see it, though. I don't get it.
Well, the Anaheim Ducks still might have the most points in the league, I think. And mind you, I saw them in the first game of the season, and sometimes teams aren't really quite ready for action. But they always lose early in the playoffs. And when I watch them play, I still see a team with some defensive issues. As good as they are, I don't take them that seriously as the team to come out of the West. I would still take the Chicago Blackhawks or St. Louis Blues over those two teams any day of the week. And the other team in the East, and they're having a wonderful season, but the Tampa Bay Lightning, they're fun to watch. They're really talented. But you hear this term a lot in hockey, that they're not built to win in the playoffs, and I don't think they are. I don't think their defensemen are particularly good, other than Victor Hedman, who's the best defenseman. And there's not a physical team. They're, you know, push them around a little bit. Not unlike the Penguins in some ways, frankly. A lot of people say the Penguins aren't built to win in the playoffs, and I think as good as Tampa is, I don't see them coming out of the East right now.
Josh, always a pleasure. Great to connect with you again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
Josh Yoey, Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Steelers open up contract negotiations with Ben Roethlisberger today. Plus, we'll talk about Robert Griffin III getting into it with a fan on Instagram here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Love.
At Sunbury Motors, their customers have loved their prices for 100 years.
But they're going to be crazy in love this month with invoice-less rebates.
I want to see you.
February, the month of love, is invoice-less rebates on all of our new Kias. How about a 2015 Kia 5 LX for $13,999? Our race-winning 2015 Optimus starting at $18,998. And we can't forget about our SUV lovers. We have 23 2015 Serenos starting at $21,515. And all of our new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com. SMC. Selling more cars and loving our customers for 100 years.
Tax and tags extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. KMF bonus cash financing to well-qualified customers.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us in the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street at Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. The Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger have begun preliminary negotiations on a new contract. Roethlisberger is about to head into the final year of an 8-year, $102 million deal. He is on the cusp of his 33rd birthday. This will be an interesting negotiation because I know on my board I've got him as the 12th best quarterback in the league, and I don't know what they're going to do here.
And it's unusual because the Steelers don't usually rework contracts, and you know what they're going to do. I'm not even going to acknowledge that. But I find it interesting. The Steelers don't normally do this.
They have to do this. This is not a question of what you... It's 2015. You have to reopen negotiations with your franchise quarterback now. I think the top three quarterbacks in the NFL are Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Ben Roethlisberger. Yes, I've got Roethlisberger ahead at this time of Peyton Manning. Manning, the way he came down the stretch the last 2 months of the season, was startling as to how he played or how ineffectively he played. And I've got Roethlisberger ahead of Andrew Luck. I've got him ahead of Drew Brees. I've got him ahead of Russell Wilson and some other guys. I think he's one of the three best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And this is not a question of being unusual. You've got to be smart here. Okay? You cannot go, hey, we're going to go through the last year of the contract. Oh, really? Oh, no, you can't. This is 2015. You got to play the game differently now. This is not 1965 anymore. And so you've got to be able to go out, and you've got a guy who is going to be 33 years old and I think has five really, really good years left in him, minimum.
Well, I think they've developed a decent wide receiver core around him now that's fairly young. Antonio Brown and Bryant and Wheaton. And then the running game that they developed may actually help him be a little bit more of a healthy quarterback. That's been the big thing with Ben Roethlisberger. Plus the stability up front. I think it was a better offensive line this year than the last several.
Well, one of the keys to opening up the negotiations now is there's no deadline. There's no deadline. And at the same time, by redoing the deal now, you actually will lower the cap number. Roethlisberger's current cap number is 18.395. The Steelers at the moment, right now, are $2.7 million under the cap.
Yeah, I was going to say it's only $2.5 million or something.
And the cap, by the way, is $140 million, which ironically is the exact same number as the television money each team gets. Interesting. So they'll be able to actually, by negotiating with Roethlisberger, should be able to lower his cap number and put them even further under the cap, which will then allow them to get other players like defensive backs, people on defense who can actually run.
Defensive backs.
Some people with instincts.
Yeah. Defensive backs. See a pattern here?
Meanwhile, Robert Griffin III did not step over the line in terms of nastiness or profanity or anything like that, but got into it with a fan on Instagram. Why? Why do you get into it with anybody on Instagram, Twitter, or anything else? Okay. I'm not worried about what Bob in Fairfax thinks. He should be worried about what Jay in Landover thinks. Simple as that. The guy was criticizing him, saying, well, you're doing this, and you should be training and working the whole time. Yeah, look. What do you think? You're out there training 20 hours a day? What, are you kidding me? You need some time off. You need to get away. You need to do some things while training at the same time. You got to have a life as you train. But you don't need to respond to that. There's no need to respond. James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, responded to some 73-year-old fan who's been a season ticket holder since 52, and it was a nasty exchange between the two of them. Why? The guy wrote you an email. Hey, thanks. We appreciate the fact you've been a season ticket holder since 52. Nobody's more frustrated than we are. You know, believe me, nobody wants to win worse than I am. You know, hang with us. We'll work this out.
That's what I was just going to say. You don't want to not answer the email, but you definitely don't want to have an argument. You just simply say, hey, thanks for the email. We're frustrated too. You worded it right. That's the way it should have been.
You answer no one on Twitter, though. No one. Zero. You answer no one on Instagram. Okay? Never. Never get... I mean, it's counterproductive. It doesn't do anything. Don't answer them. Here's one. You can't do what I do. Okay? So why am I going to answer you? I mean, there's no need. I mean, there's no need. I don't understand why people get into these social media arguments. Don't answer. Okay? Now, the guy that does know what I'm supposed to do is Jay in Landover. Now, if Jay in Landover is critical of me, I do have a problem. But if Mike in Fairfax is mad at me, Mike in Fairfax doesn't determine whether I play or not. Mike in Fairfax can't improve me, but Jay in Landover can. I don't get it. I know we're in a social media world, but you cannot answer people on social media. You just can't. Let them criticize you all they want. Who cares? Somebody wants to send you an email, and everyone knows I have always answered thoughtfully every email I've ever received. Every one of them. I've never skipped over an email. Not one time. Ever. Social media. You can tweet whatever you want about me. You're never going to get a response.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, which 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin, traversing the roadways in another Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
And this week we're featuring the 2015 Focus SE, which has a lot of great features, including the EcoBoost engine now available. EcoBoost engines are available on the SE, plus the first row floor mats are standard. Second row are standard on the SE as well, just another added feature. And they have two new colors this year. It's, magnetic and tectonic are the two new colors. And you'll find the redesign is really fuel efficient with average gas mileage around town about 30 and 35 or even maybe a little higher on the highway, depending on how you drive. And there's a little button on there that you can actually see if you're driving the EcoBoost engine efficiently or not. So far, I've gotten 5 green leaves. I'm good to go. Check it out at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
All right. Yeah, anybody who writes me a letter, I respond to it. Anybody who writes me an email, I respond to it. Anybody who says something about Twitter, Instagram, I don't respond. Okay? I don't respond to social media. Just don't. Letter, email, I have a 100% track record. Somebody takes the time to write it down. They put their name on it, the whole thing. That's fine. Every single time. And try to do it thoughtfully. You know, try if there's a request, I try very hard to meet the request. Because I think that's important. But Instagram, Twitter, whatever, any social media, boards, whatever, no. Nope. Pro or con. You could be like, hey, you're really good. You know, no. I don't understand why Robert Griffin III wants to do that. I don't understand why any athlete wants to do that. I don't get it. I don't get why you want to get into these exchanges with people. And again, I mean, if somebody were to write me a letter or to write me an email and were critical, whatever, you'd say, look, it's fine. I got it. But at least, you know, at least you backed it up and said who you were and the whole thing, and that's fine. Now, admittedly, 95% of what I get is positive. So, I mean, it's not, you know, I'm not going to lie to you there. Somebody writes me a letter or whatever. Usually it's you know, they like something, or there's a request they have or whatever, and there's a request because they do like you, whatever. So you do everything you can to respond to it, get back, try to fulfill a request, whatever. But social media, getting into that, I see this stuff goes back and forth. It's like, why do you bother? Doesn't matter.
I think you're the worst quarterback in the world, and you should be doing less of this, this, and this. I don't care but what you think over there, Mike in Fairfax. Right? Jay in Landover is the guy I got to worry about. Okay? He's the head coach.
That's the first time I think I've really seen an argument on Instagram. I mean, Twitter I could almost understand, but Instagram's photos. I mean, I know there's captions underneath it you can comment on, but what kind of photo would cause that kind of response?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I think the social media thing can be nice, fun, whatever, but you know, and can be very informative. I mean, how many times has Twitter been used as a warning? Been Twitter been used as a news outlet, whatever, to get the message out quickly, whatever. That's great, but when it comes to exchanges, no. No exchanges. No exchanges at all. Well, we've had an interesting day today. We talked about the Chicago Little League team being investigated. Kevin thinks, oh, it's all parents. And I said, look, let's not pretend that, you know, today's kids are not of purity and innocence. They know if they're 14, they also know that, hey, I don't recall playing against Bobby this year. Okay, well, I guess I'll just go. This will be great.
Maybe okay. Maybe they didn't play that game. It's possible.
Okay. Tonight you have one homework assignment. It won't take too long. Look up the word naive. That's all I gotta do.
Is there a picture of me in the dictionary behind it?
But does it seem like I'm cynical? Too many things have happened, okay? Where, you know, they know they're, you know, where you get to be a little cynical. I was a kid thrilled he made the team and the whole thing. I did it. Hey, great. Okay, fabulous. I don't really know any of these guys. Really? Oh, don't let that worry you. We'll be fine. I mean, what's the worst could happen? We go to the world championship game and they find out. Really? What are the odds of that? What are the odds of that? We'll be fine. Maybe we'll get to the regionals.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you that maybe the players know some of the things, but let's face it, it's the parents that are really messing it up.
Oh, sure they are. But believe me, the kids know. The kids aren't dumb. They know.
Here's something. I don't know if anybody's aware or not, but Little League Baseball is for the kids.
I didn't know Miguel was in my league.
Really?
It's the first time I ever met him was at practice. Okay. Did you find that a little unusual at All-Star time?
I thought he lived on the other side of the other side of the city.
No, they probably don't know where they live. In all likelihood. Where are you from? Burbs.
Okay.
You mean we couldn't pick from all of Chicago? We had to pick from our league? Really? We also talked about youth wrestling. For some reason, it struck a chord with Kevin about the lack of JV matches.
I have no idea why.
It's like 90% of what you talk about on this show when you speak is like all this personal stuff. I feel like I'm Dr. Phil. I'm Dr. Phil.
See, I can give you a perspective, though, that you may not have. It's a hands-on personal perspective on what Ken was talking about.
It's really, in essence, it's WMC. So, the lot of WMC. You're dying to know what that means.
I'm afraid to ask. Go ahead.
Typical you. Whining, moaning, and complaining.
There you go. All right.
They're ruining my kid.
I didn't say that. I agree, though. I agree with him that if you don't do something to get kids involved that are not on the varsity squad, you're going to lose them. And there is a definite gap between junior high wrestling, which seems to be doing well in spots, and then you have varsity wrestling, which seems to be struggling right now.
RMK.
There's too many letters on this show. I have to think too much now. What is that?
Ruining my kid.
No.
UnKOK.
No. Has nothing to do with that. I speak for a lot of JV wrestlers that get frustrated.
I could do that all by myself.
But every high school coach will tell you in wrestling that is the biggest challenge right now is getting the numbers you need and being able to keep them engaged when there's no JV or exhibition matches.
Okay. Now that we've aired out all of your personal baggage, let's talk about what?
Ken's right on the money. That was a great interview. That might be one of your best.
I don't even remember what he said.
It's a feeling I have at 5 o'clock. What'd you talk about on the show today? I don't remember what he said.
Let's see. Ed Sable passed away, the founder of NFL Films. 98 years old. Was not going to turn 99 until September 11th. 98 years old. It was founded as Blair Productions, I believe. And Blair's, we see his son Steve Sable, who passed away in 2012 at a brain tumor. Emily Kaplan, Penn State graduate, writing on Monday Morning Quarterback, which is the Peter King Enfield High School graduate website. Emily wrote a great piece on Ed Sable, but there's also another piece that's embedded in there that if you click on it, was her going to the still filled up but humanly vacant office of the late Steve Sable that is still as is from the last day he worked there. Starting in 1962, Ed Sable was able to convince the NFL that, look, he said, I can do this. And they gave him the 62 NFL championship game. The enjoyment and how he brought us, the two of them together. Ed Sable and Steve Sable are the rare father-son combination where, it does happen. But, for example, where the son is as revered as the father in the same business. Kirk Douglas, Michael Douglas, And Steve Sable was a genius. I mean, the part about the Raiders and Autumn and so forth, the Autumn Wind, Steve Sable actually wrote that. I mean, he's the one that actually wrote that. And NFL Films, incredible over the years. They call it football, the documentary they did. And many thought that NFL Films would, quote, die when the NFL Network started in 2003. And they laughed it off, and they were thriving more than ever. Ed Sable was put into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2011. As far as I'm concerned, I know it would be, obviously. I mean, Steve Sable should be in as well. What they meant. Ed, and think of this. For all of you who've kind of wondered in life, well, I've settled in, I'm never going to fulfill my dream, and so forth. Keep in mind this. Ed Sable passed away at 98, correct? First thing he got rolling with the NFL was 1962, correct? That would have made him 46 years old at the time. 46. You can accomplish huge things and accomplish dreams at any age. At any age. And Emily Kaplan really did a great job in her SI.com column about Ed Sable. And then they were doing, for the 95th year of the NFL, 95 things about the National Football League. One of them was NFL Films, and she did the piece on Steve Sable. Great stuff. Great stuff. Really enjoyed both the columns that she wrote. You okay there? You all right?
Great.
Kind of disappointed NFL Films didn't do a documentary on your son's wrestling career.
Listen, NFL Films changed the way people watched football. And I think has a lot to do with its popularity when they slowed everything down and gave it a Hollywood-style feel.
That's because he was a filmmaker. He was a movie maker. He was a movie maker.
They showed the art of the game. That's the way I've always heard it discussed, or always heard it brought across.
But he also did football follies too, and the NFL did not want him to do football follies. Until they realized that people loved it and it attracted more people to the game. And Joe Brown went to him one day and he said, you know what? I think we'll take care of the footballs and take care of the penalties and things like that. We'll let you take care of the movies. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070. WKOK.
Love.
At Sunbury Motors, their customers have loved their prices for 100 years.
But they're going to be crazy in love this month with invoice-less rebates.
February, the month of love, is invoice-less rebates on all of our new Kias. How about a 2015 Kia 5 LX for $13,999? Our race-winning 2015 Optimus starting at $18,998. And we can't forget about our SUV lovers. We have 23 2015 Serenos starting at $21,515. And all of our new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com. SMC. Selling more cars and loving our customers for 100 years.
Tax and tags extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. KMF bonus cash and financing to well-qualified customers.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
I mean, who would sit there and think, I wonder if we could put some classical music behind football highlights and people would think it looked cool?
Ed Sable would, and Steve Sable is actually the son. He's the one that wrote that and then got John Facenda to record it. John Facenda was the narrator of the 1982 Penn State Football National Championship film. And I remember they brought him into Channel 3 to record it. I remember Bob Bartolome is the guy that brought him in. I remember I was standing there and he came to the door and goes, "Hello, Bob." I almost fell to the floor laughing. "Hello, Bob." let's see.
Is it true he never said that he never called Lambeau the Frozen Tundra?
I have no idea.
That was a story I had heard a few years ago that he never.
Well, it depends on the script.
That.
I don't know. If it wasn't in the script, he didn't say it. I can guarantee you that. I mean, he didn't ad-lib and go off the reservation. Greg Popovich, 1,000th win with San Antonio. This all coincides with you got to get lucky in this thing. And for the world that thinks that the NBA is fixed and, the Celtics and the Lakers and look where guys end up and so forth, remember that when Rick Pitino took over the Celtics, a big part of it was, look, if we can get the first overall pick, we'll get Tim Duncan. And they didn't. They got the third overall pick. Now, he picked a good player that eventually, with his impatience, he got rid of in Chauncey Billups. And he took Ron Mercer with the fifth overall pick. But San Antonio got Tim Duncan. And then Greg Popovich took over as the coach. And they've won all these championships since. 1,000 wins for him. Ruben Amaro Jr. expects Cole Hamels to be in Clearwater with the Phillies. Says he's in a unique situation. The question I would have is whether Ruben Amaro will be in Clearwater with the Phillies. And St. Louis and the state of Missouri plan on moving forward with plans to secure a new stadium for the Rams. They're going to make an announcement on an agreement with the Terminal Railroad Association and an energy company as well, Ameren Engineering, to move a railroad line and relocate power lines to clear room for a proposed 90-acre site for a stadium.
I've done that before, usually on SimCity, though, on the computer. You just bring the bulldozer in, you break those lines up, build the stadium, and then rework the power and everything.
You do know that, like, there's life beyond a video game, right?
You know, it's because of those video games we all think that things should be built a lot faster. It only took me 2 days to build it on the computer.
Okay, repeating once again, you do know that there's life beyond a video game, right?
I'm aware.
Maybe.
Have you looked outside? I mean, other than skiing, snowboarding, bobsled, and skeleton luge, there's not a whole lot you can do outside right now.
Well, I drove through a whiteout last week coming back from Maryland. I mean, I'm aware of what's on outside. I talked to my brother this morning. You know how much snow my brother has?
Oh, he's got to be somewhere around 46 inches.
He's got 4 feet. So, 2 more inches than that. He told me he has 4 feet of snow.
I saw pictures of people that it was up above their windows and door now.
What we're going to do later in the week... Maybe he'll do this on Friday. I want to know who out there actually plays video games like you do. Who does fantasy football like you do. And what their favorites are. I want to see if it's more than just you and Sean Carey.
Are you joining us from Columbus tomorrow?
I'll think about it.
Why don't you?